In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus once told the following parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The king in this parable is God, and you and me and all people are the servant. Indeed, every one of us is the servant because we are all created by God. The first article of the creed speaks to every single human being who has ever lived. And therefore, as taught by the first article of the creed, every single human being owes God his thanks and praise, his service, and his obedience. And the thanks and praise, service, and obedience that God requires must be perfect. For as Jesus said, you, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. But none of us, not a single one, has rendered the obedience God requires according to his law. Not a single one of us has perfectly thanked, perfectly praised, perfectly served, or perfectly obeyed God. And when God wishes to settle his accounts according to the law, there must be justice. There must be a debt paid in full. Should the King, our Lord God, settle his accounts according to his law, our only fate is to be enslaved. For our debts enslave us. The debt of sin makes you a slave. Jesus said tonight, as we heard, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The law condemns you to slavery until satisfaction is made in full. The debt of your sin is paid off completely. Once again, this applies to every single one of us. All of us are by nature the slaves of sin. All of us are sold under its power. Not a single one of us is capable of purchasing our own freedom. Much like the servant in Jesus' parable, who owed an unimaginable debt of 10,000 talents, we owe God an unimaginable debt, that debt of sin, a debt to which we add every day, for we daily sin much, not to mention the fact that we are conceived and born in sin and are under the power of the devil. Because of this, in spiritual things and things pertaining to God, the natural man's intellect, his mind, his heart, are utterly unable to do anything towards God, to understand, to believe, to accept, to think, to will, begin, affect, do, work, not a single thing. It's for this reason Jesus said, my word finds no place in you. When God, the King, wishes to settle his accounts according to the law, who can stand? If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? When the law of God makes its unyielding demands, when poor sinners cannot live up to its perfect requirements, who can stand? The servant in Jesus' parable couldn't. He fell to his knees, and he implored his king, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. This is a foolish statement. The servant couldn't pay back that debt, not in 1,000 lifetimes. But the king, in Jesus' parable, the king had pity for him. And the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? but with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Against the dreadful captivity of sin, against the law's unyielding requirements of perfection, here stands the gospel, the good news that brings freedom from sin and from the curse of the law. But we do well to note that our freedom, the freedom announced in the gospel, is not merely a declaration made by God according to his abundant power and absolute authority, but rather, it is a freedom that has been won for you, won for me, won for all, by Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, who ransomed us, who paid the price for us. The freedom announced by the gospel is the freedom that is gained only by Christ's substitutionary sacrifice. It doesn't do, and it will never do, to ask, could God have simply ignored our sin? Could he simply have forgiven our sins without the redemptive work of his son Jesus? Could have God just made our sins vanish? The question when it comes to God is not what he could or couldn't do, but rather what he did do. And this is what God has done for you. He, the Son of God, was born of woman, born under the law, to redeem you who were under the law. He never practiced sin. He never even sinned once. And yet, out of his boundless love for you, took on the form of a servant, the form of a slave. He assumed to himself the obligation to keep the law, and he himself bore the curse of the law against you. As the Apostle Paul writes, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Not just as God, not just as man, but as true God and true man united in one person, did Christ redeem you. As true God and true man, Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again for your salvation. Indeed, for the salvation of all. Even those Old Testament saints who lived by faith in God's promised salvation, who waited for the Lord, whose souls waited, and in his word did they hope. Out of pity, out of his boundless mercy for you, Christ Jesus came to release you from your debt of sin by paying that debt himself. There was nothing in you to merit this. There was nothing in you to deserve this, but purely out of his own grace and mercy. Just as the Lord long ago redeemed his people Israel out of bondage in Egypt for his own name's sake. Only if the Son sets you free will you be free indeed. And therefore, the only forgiveness that God declares to you, the only freedom that God offers to you, is the forgiveness and freedom that has been won by Christ through his perfect obedience, his suffering and death, by which he paid your ransom, by which he redeemed you from sin and the curse of the law. We are justified by God's grace as a gift that is apart from any works or of our own. But that grace and gift comes only through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If Christ didn't pay for your release with his precious blood shed for you on the cross, then there would be no grace for you, no gospel for you declaring your freedom. Grace without the payment of Christ's precious blood shed for you on the cross simply does not exist. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given to you freely, which cost you nothing, he was willing to purchase only at an infinite, priceless value, his very life. In his redemptive work alone do we know God's favor. And we know that redemptive work through the gospel. It is true, there is no gospel without the redemptive work of Christ, without his crucifixion, without his shedding his blood to redeem you from sin, death, and the devil. But you and me, not a single one of us could know about this. We couldn't know anything about Christ, let alone believe in him and have him as our Lord, unless we heard about it through the preaching of the gospel. And unless the Holy Spirit, who comes to us through the gospel, was sent into our hearts so that we might hear this word and believe it and hold fast to it and claim it as our own. Because the Son has set you free, you are free. Free to hear the gospel, free to believe it, free to accept it. The Son has set you free. But not free so that you might be a house swept clean and put in order, empty and awaiting for the evil spirits to come back and make your last state worse than the first, like we heard on Sunday. He has set you free that you would be filled with the Spirit. He has set you free so that you might be his own people. Just as he claimed the people of Israel in our first lesson tonight, he has claimed you. God has taken you to be his people, and he has declared himself to be your God. He has made you his people by forgiving you. And as forgiven people, you too ought to forgive. Just as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, just like the servant in Jesus' parable should have done, but didn't. You are God's people because he has redeemed you. And as redeemed people, you are called to redeem the time in which you live in this world. So writes the Apostle Paul in his epistles. To redeem the time means this. It means not to be foolish, but to understand what the will of God is. It means not to get drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. It means to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to sing and make melody to the heart, in your heart to the Lord. It means to give thanks always and everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It means to walk in wisdom towards those outside the church, making the best use of the time. It means that your speech should be gracious at all times, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. Again, you are a redeemed people. So redeem the time, because the days are evil. Again, Jesus said, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one who was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt." With this parable, Jesus illustrates for us the heart of our Christian faith. Indeed, what we can call the first and chief article of our faith. That he, Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. He alone is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and God has laid on him the iniquities of us all. All have sinned and are justified freely without their own works or merits by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus in his blood. This is necessary to believe. It cannot be otherwise acquired or grasped by any work or law or merit. Therefore, it is clear and certain that this faith alone justifies us. Faith clings to the gospel. And the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again for you. The gospel is that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. The gospel is that Jesus Christ paid the wages of your sin, which is death. The good news is that your debt has been satisfied. And therefore, the good news is that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, an heir of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.